Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today are the words of Jesus from the cross, as we heard from Luke chapter 23. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And later to the repentant criminal, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. Now, some of us have been doing this for decades and decades, and some of us have been here for a handful of years, and some of us are relatively new. Today, we've arrived at what we call the last Sunday of the church year. We have a church calendar that we follow, and you could say that next Sunday will be the beginning of a new year. So I want to take a quick spin back through the calendar. We think where we've been over the last church year. We began in Advent. We heard about the promise of the Messiah, and we anticipated his coming. In Christmas, we celebrated his birth with great joy. In Lent, or in Epiphany, we marveled to see God shining through the flesh and blood of a man. In Lent, we were struck by how he suffered for us. On Good Friday, by how he died for us. And on Easter Sunday, by his glorious resurrection for us. We rejoiced at his ascension to the right hand of the Father and at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost. And then we marched through the long green time of the church, spring, summer, and fall, as the Word took root in our lives, grew up, pruned our branches, and brought forth good fruit. And next week, as I said, we'll start all over again. Right back at Advent, in this beautiful rhythm of days and seasons. In the Psalms, it teaches us, it says this, it says, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." For my own part, I find that the church calendar does that for me. The longer I live with this calendar, the more it begins to shape and form me and to press me into the mold of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're at the last Sunday, which means today we are looking toward the end. The last Sunday sets before us what are called the last things. There are four of them: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Today, we remember that we must die. Maybe you've heard the Latin phrase for this, memento mori. Sometimes people will have a skull and a candle reminding them of their coming death. Not that we really need another reminder. You've got the aches, you've got the pains, you've got the stresses and the medications and the doctor's appointments, and each one of those is another reminder that death is coming. Today we also remember that all of this, everything we see, all of it will come to an end. What we see around us is temporary, not eternal. There's a riddle you might have heard that talks about time. It says time devours all things. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. Time is powerful, and it marches on. But today we remember that time is not divine. Time is not eternal. Time itself will finally run its course and be brought to its fullness. Perhaps you've got a game at home that has a sand timer in it. Pull it out this week. Turn that sand timer. It's a reminder. It tells the truth. Time is running out. Or rather, if you look at the bottom half, time is filling up. Time is filling up. And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again in glory, and he is coming soon, and if not soon, then now. We believe that at the end of the world, Christ will appear for judgment and will raise all the dead. He will give the godly and elect, those who believe in him, eternal life and everlasting joys. But he will condemn the ungodly people and the devils to be tormented without end. Our Lord is coming again in glory. And when it comes to the last things, when it comes to the end of our lives or the end of the world, there are, in my mind, two false paths that we must be aware of. The two false paths to be aware of when we think about the end are the paths of speculation and the paths of fear. The first false path is the path of speculation. What do I mean? By speculation, I mean that there are all sorts of ideas and opinions out there about everything, but especially about the last things. I'm sure you could go to Barnes & Noble or pull up a podcast stream and find books and interviews about people who claim to have special knowledge related to death and the afterlife. I'm sure you could find as well countless different theories about the end of the world, the when and the where and the how it will all happen. There have been countless predictions for the end of the world. This week I pulled up Wikipedia, not always the best source, but it kind of does the job. And there are like pages and pages of lists of the predictions of the end of the world. And I'm sure there will be more. Even science has predictions about it. Exploding supernovas, rogue asteroids, super volcanoes, gamma rays, carbon dioxide starvation, and the sun swelling to the size of a red giant star, so that it swallows the earth. There's certainly an appeal to learning about these things. And I'd say some of it makes for really, really good science fiction. It scratches an itch for us. We human beings are knowledge creatures, and we want to know. We want to know everything, including the future. But here's the thing. We can't trust speculation. We can't trust opinions. We can't trust guesses and ideas. So don't get taken in by these things. What God wants us to know about the future, he's given us in his word, and I'll be honest, it doesn't answer every question you might have. What he says there is limited. Because when it comes to the future, God knows that knowledge isn't the key. It's not that we'd be better prepared if we knew more about it. The key to the future, the key to the end of our lives or of the world, is trust. Trust that our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose for us. Trust that he will come again in the fullness of time and bring to the completion the good work that he has begun in us. We don't need more to know more. We need to trust and believe more. And that's why our Lord has given us his word, that we might be strengthened not simply in our knowledge, but in our trust. That's why our gospel reading today points us not simply to the signs of the end, but it points us to Christ crucified. He is the one we need to see and to know as we look to the end. Speculation. Let's leave that behind. The second false path is the path of fear. It's related to the first. The path of fear and anxiety. You know, that's where speculation leads. And I don't just mean speculation about the end of all things, but when you start speculating about tomorrow or what's going to happen or how you're going to take care of something, what does it do? It just leads to fear and anxiety. Because it's based on something we cannot know, unfounded predictions and misinformation. It can even breed panic. Fear and faith don't play on the same team. Fear and faith are not like a pitcher and a catcher. They don't play well together. And our Lord wouldn't have us live like that. You know what he says, what Jesus says in the Gospels? Do not be anxious about what? About what you eat, or what you drink, or what you will wear. Don't worry about those things. Do you think he would then turn around in his word and say, oh, but do be anxious and worried about the end? Of course not. If we don't need to worry about the little things like food and drink and clothing, we certainly don't need to worry or be anxious or be afraid about the big things. Why are the scriptures written? St. John tells us, these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The point of the scriptures is not to cultivate fear, but to cultivate life, that we might live now and forever with Christ. St. John also tells us in his first letter, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I want to read it in the wider context here from 1 John chapter 4. He says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to believe and to know the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's why the church calendar places in front of our eyes today the crucifixion of our Lord. Not that his death isn't front and center every week, because it certainly is, but today we heard St. Luke's account of our Lord's suffering and death. There we see the perfect love of Jesus for us. There we see the love that suffers, bleeds, and dies for us. There we see the love that was willing to go to the end for us. For Jesus, there is neither speculation nor fear as he faces the cross. There is only trust as he cries out to his Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. St. John tells us that Jesus loved his own who were in the world to the end. All the way to his bleeding and dying, he loved you. And he will love you to the end as well, to the end of your life or to the end of this world, this creation. And it is his love, his love for you and for me, that prepares us for the end. It is his love that makes us ready to die and ready for him to return. It is what he has done that prepares us. And that's why speculation is no good. Speculation just leads people down all these false paths, thinking they can prepare themselves in some way for the end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he is the one that prepares us, and he is preparing us again. And he has given us words for the end, precious words spoken from the cross, precious words spoken in the face of death, judgment, and hell. Because that's what Jesus endured for us, the punishment of death, the judgment of the Father, and the suffering of hell. So as you remember the end, let these words of Jesus ring in your ears. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When your last hour draws near and you are about to close your eyes in the sleep of death, hear these words, Father, forgive them. Jesus praying for you as he shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And hear these words as well. Jesus, to that repentant criminal, one that you would have thought had missed the boat, his opportunity was over, but while he is dying on the cross, he comes to believe that Jesus is the Savior. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When you see the signs of the end, when the world around you goes crazy with speculation and fear, remember this promise. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. For this is what we need, not only for the end, but for right now, and for the life he has given us here, his word of forgiveness and his promise of paradise. And this is what he has won for you, dear friend. He has won for you, not an end, but the endless world to come. A life free of sin. A resurrection of your body without pain or any of those aches that are reminding us of death. He has won for you heaven, and he promises it to you again today. So do not live in fear, but do live. Live in hope and in peace and in comfort and in confidence, because the judgment has already come and it fell on him, and he gave you forgiveness and salvation. And so our prayer, because of what Christ has done, is this: that our Father in heaven, when our last hour comes, would give us a blessed end and would graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Remember these words, Father, forgive them. And today you will be with me in paradise. In Jesus' name. Amen.